तद अभिप्रेतमा लक्ष्य भ्रातरोच्युत चोदिता धनं ब्रहीणमाजहो उदीच्यं दिशि भूरिश
Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Maruta. Raj Maruta, one of the great emperors of the world. He reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Maharaj Avikshit, and he was a great devotee of the son of the sun god, known as Yamaraj. His brother Samvarta was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of the demigods. He conducted one sacrifice called Shankar Jagga, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over to him the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalaya mountains, and modern adventurers may try to find it there. He was so powerful of an emperor that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets, like Indra, Chandra, and Brihaspati, used to visit his palace. And because he had the gold peak at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of the sacrificial altar was completely made of gold, and his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of the Vayu Loka were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony. And the assembly of the demigods in the ceremony was led by Vishwadeva. By his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of diseases from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets, like Devaloka and Pitraloka, were pleased with him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day he used to give in charity to the learned Brahmins such things as beddings, seats, conveyances, and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and performances of innumerable sacrifices, the King of Heaven, Indradev, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years, surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wife, sons, and brothers. Even Lord Sri Krishna praised his spirit of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharaj Angira, and by his good blessings, he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood of his sacrifices to learned Brihaspati, but the demigod refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, a man of the earth. He was very sorry for this, But on the advice of Narada Muni, he had pointed Samvarta to the post, and he was successful in his mission. The success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifice are forbidden because there is no learned priest amongst the so-called Brahmins who go by the false notion of becoming sons of Brahmins without Brahminical qualifications. In this age of Kali, therefore, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan Yajna, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Following the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira Maharaj was given the charge of the kingdom of the entire world by Lord Sri Krishna personally. As the emperor of the planet, he was feeling the weight of the responsibility. At the same time, being a great and pure-hearted Vaishnava, he was assuming the blame of all the pain which was caused as a result of the battle of Kurukshetra upon himself. Yudhisthira Maharaj was faultless. He was free of envy or pride. He was the embodiment of virtue, Dharmaraj. He was the living example of true Dharma. But as it is in this world, by the natural condition of the three modes of material nature, oftentimes those who are most pure in their devotion to the Lord are objects of envy toward others. And Duryodhana, in so many evil, exploitative ways, tried to destroy the reputation and usurp all of the property of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And as a result, the battle of Kurukshetra took place. Krishna personally tried to negotiate on behalf of Maharaj Yudhisthira, knowing that the king himself wanted to avoid this battle. Bhagavan Purushottam, Krishna, himself assumed the position of a humble servant of his devotee, Yudhisthira Maharaj, as well as Arjuna. In the Vaikunthas, Krishna, in his expansion of Narayan, is served by all purified souls with such surrender and devotion. But when the Lord appeared in this world, sometimes he would deliver messages between Yudhisthira and Duryodhana. And in the process, he was very much misused and insulted. Sometimes he would take position of the charioteer of Arjuna. This was the glory of these great Vaishnavas. Not only was Krishna their intimate relative by family relationships, but he was also choosing to serve them in such natural and humble ways. Anyways, the battle was fought. Yatra, Krishna says that, or Sanjay says, that wherever there is Krishna, there is certain to be victory. So, the Yudhisthira and his brothers, they were victorious. Krishna himself arranged for the coronation of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. By Krishna himself arranging the coronation of this king, he was showing the world that he was personally and directly entrusting the kingdom and all the citizens to Yudhisthira Maharaj. But Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking that so many people died and so many wives, children, and relatives bore the pain of these deaths. And he was responsible. He was responsible because it was all meant ultimately to give him the power of the emperor. These days, when something terrible goes wrong within a country, it is the etiquette that the leader has to publicly accept the blame and the responsibility. And it is also the leader's duty to personally see to the responsible atonement or solution to the problem that took place. This is the etiquette of politics. And in all spheres of respectable life, the leader must accept responsibility for whatever takes place under his or her authority. Even in spiritual life, when a disciple engages in some sort of sinful activity, or when devotees quarrel amongst themselves for their own selfish purposes, Srila Prabhupada explained that the real pain is not so much with those quarreling, but with the spiritual master who has assumed responsibility in the eyes of God. And therefore, it should be the very, very attentive conviction of every sincere disciple to very carefully guard against putting the spiritual master in a position of embarrassment before God. And also, the spiritual master, in one way or another, naturally is willing to atone, accept pain and tapasya for the violations of those under his charge. And in the same way, the father, or even the king, should take the same responsibility. Maharaj Yudhisthira, his idea is because so much suffering he was responsible for, he has to make it up to the whole kingdom, and he has to make it up in the eyes of God. So therefore he decided to perform this Aswamedha Yajna, or horse sacrifice. And to perform such a sacrifice was very difficult. In fact, one had to have no challenge or rivalry on the entire planet in order to perform these sacrifices properly. Rajasuya Yajna is actually the most difficult yajna. The Aswamedha Yajna also very, very difficult. One requires immense quantities of gold. And even though Yudhisthira Maharaj was the king of the entire planet, there was not enough gold to be found within his immediate accessibility to perform this yajna. So therefore, under the instructions of Krishna, his brothers went to the Himalayan mountains, the north. Krishna explained the story of Maharaj Maruta. And this Maharaj Maruta, he performed, as Srila Prabhupada explains, the Shankar Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he handed over to him a mountain peak made out of gold. So in order to perform this yajna, that was their only hope. They had to find this massive, massive quantity of gold. Recently, a few weeks ago, I was in Italy, driving between Pisa and Milano, and one of my godbrothers, Matsyavatar, was pointing out there was a mountain peak in this mountain range. And in the peaks of these mountains was the only place on earth where there was pure white marble. Very, very, very valuable marble. In India, there is no such marble like this. And all over the world, people are ordering marble from this one mountain site. And for miles and miles around these mountain peaks was nothing but marble, big, big yards of marble slabs and marble blocks. Because for the finest marble in the world, this is the only mountain where it is found. So millions and millions and millions of dollars of orders from America, from all over Europe, from Australia, even the wealthiest people in India, they're all trying to order marble from this mountain. And the people who mine this mountain are very, very wealthy people. So one mountain made out of simple white marble, you can see how so much the world is focusing on trying to get the wealth of that. But here we find that somewhere in the Himalayas is a mountain made out of pure, solid gold, unadulterated gold. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that explorers and adventurers, they should try to find this mountain. Because it is there in the Himalayas to this day. But no one has been able to discover. Because they are not performing the proper yajna. But Krishna, who is achyuta, infallible, he knew exactly where and how to reach it. In fact, if we want to find real gold, what is really of precious value, the greatest gold is the gold of bhakti, devotion, prema. It is only through the direction of Krishna, it is only by pleasing the infallible personality of Godhead that we can discover the way and the means. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to give all those sincere searchers direction and understanding of where to find the real true wealth by which we can actually please Him, the wealth of devotion. So in this case, Krishna was telling Yudhisthira and the brothers how to find the gold left by King Maruta. But why did Krishna tell? Because Krishna knew that they wanted to utilize it, not for their own personal position or sense enjoyment, but they wanted to use it as a sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. Because as the Vedas explain, all sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Even sacrifices offered to the various demigods, ultimately they are all meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. The name of Vishnu is primary in any type of yajna. And even if the demigods accept our offerings, unless they themselves offer it to Vishnu, they have no interest in it. So therefore, those who perform yajna for the pleasure of the demigods are getting only the material benefits of the demigods, but unknowingly, they're actually making their offerings, their sacrifice to Vishnu. Just like it is said, those who worship Durga, they take Durga Prasad, but Durga will not eat anything that is not offered to Shiva, her husband, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, and Shiva will not take anything unless he offers it to Krishna. But because of the indirect nature of their awareness, they are cheating themselves of the real benefit of that yajna, of yajna. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, he wanted to perform this yajna because he knew if by performance of this particular type of yajna, Krishna is satisfied, all the devatas will automatically be satisfied, and he would be, by his exemplary behavior, performing the proper atonement for what had been done. Krishna, every aspect of our sacrifices or our devotion, it is Krishna that is helping us, that is giving us facility. Krishna explains this in the Gita, that He is the sacrifice, He is the mantras of the sacrifice, He is the ability to perform the sacrifice, He is the ingredients of all the sacrifice, and He is the goal of the sacrifice. Everything is coming from Him. The example is given of taking water from the river Ganges and with love and devotion offering that water to Mother Ganga. That is a yajna, that is an offering in a very simple and humble way. We can make great advancement. Similarly, when we worship the deity, everything we have, we are taking from Krishna and giving it back to Krishna. Nothing exists that it is not already the property of Krishna. But he wants to see our devotion. Therefore, bhakti means sacrifice. Sacrificing our devotion to Krishna through whatever facilities and means Krishna provides. But in this particular instance, Maharaj Yudhisthira, as the king, it was prescribed of him to perform this great, great yajna, which Srila Prabhupada explains is impossible in this day and age. Because the priests who perform the yajna and chant the mantras and do the ceremonies, if they make a single mistake through days and days and days of recitation and ritual, then the whole yajna is a disgrace. When they sacrifice the horse, if everything is done properly, the horse, right before everyone's eyes, his life is revived with a new, young, unblemished body. And that is the evidence that everything was done properly. But there's one mistake. If the hand of the priest goes just slightly in the wrong direction, if any of the priests are slightly improperly dressed or have not bathed perfectly without touching anything before going to the yajna, even if they accidentally touch something that is not absolutely pure by these standards, if one syllable of one mantra is not pronounced accurately, completely accurately, they cannot go over and say it again. The mistake is there, finished. The yajna is doomed. Days and days like this, and then the horse will not come back to life. And then instead of bringing great benefit, the curse and the sin of killing this living being is upon the king and everybody involved. You know the story of Daksha when he was performing his yajna. Because during the yajna, a devotee was offended, Shiva was offended. What happened in that yajna? Shiva was so angry that they just went, all the priests, they were cutting out their eyes and breaking their teeth, breaking their heads, sometimes killing them. And Daksha himself, who was supervising the yajna, he had his head cut off. So we should not attempt to perform these yajnas in this day and age. Because no one can do it. It's impossible. And not only that, but to perform these yajnas properly, everything has to be made out of solid gold. Not silver, not teak wood, solid gold. The utensils, the canopy, Otherwise, it cannot be done. And by being able to perform such a yajna, the king shows all of his subjects within the kingdom just what type of power he has. So here we find Krishna advised Maharaj Yudhisthira's brothers to go to the Himalayas to bring this gold to the king. And this is a very wonderful observation, that Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers, they were not in any way in competition with one another. They were one in unity for the service of Krishna. Today we see how brothers are always fighting. It's terrible. They're always fighting for position, control, power, influence, money. We see so many families, big business families. The elder brother has a certain position of distinction, and the younger brothers try to tear him down and sue him in the courts, and some blaspheme him and try to get the position, the control, the top glory for themselves. This is the way Kali Yuga is. And even dynasties, the story of Aurangzeb, he was such a greedy, demoniac person that he killed his own brothers and cousins, imprisoned his own father, because he wanted the glory, the power. And even in political parties, people are not, they do not support each other because of love or faithfulness. They support the leader of their political party only because they think that by supporting him, I will get more power and ultimately I will take that position. That is politics today. But here we find that Maharaj Yudhisthira was king, and Bhima, he didn't want to be king. And Arjuna did not want to be king. And Nakula and Sahadev, they simply wanted Yudhisthira to be king. They simply wanted to assist him. They were willing to give their lives to endure any type of difficulty to assist him out of love for the pleasure of Krishna. And this type of unity, this type of working together of the brothers was so pleasing to Krishna. There was no competition amongst them. It was simply service. Each one had their own very special empowered gifts of God. Arjuna was the greatest archer. Bhima was the greatest with the club. Nakula, Sahadev, they were very beautiful, and they also had tremendous skills and intelligence. And they respected each other. And they loved each other. And they always helped each other and served each other. And they all worked somehow to assist Yudhisthira in whatever way. Because they were devotees, because they understood that this type of cooperative, harmonious living was what was pleasing to Krishna. Of course, they were fortunate because they all had one wife, Draupadi. Of course, they had other wives too, but she was the principal queen, which makes things easy. Because generally, even if brothers try to cooperate very nicely,
The wives usually don't get along. That is the age of Kali.
Because there's always competition. Whose husband is better? Who's for their own selfish sense gratification. And that makes the lives of the husbands miserable. They're always plotting to try to strategically mobilize their husband in such a way against the other husband so that something is fulfilled. This is the way Kali Yuga is in almost all families. But this is not Krishna consciousness. This is material consciousness. Krishna consciousness means cooperatively working together without competition for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So this was the way the Pandavas lived, and this is why they were so favored by Krishna. This is why they were always protected by Krishna. Because none of them were greedy. None of them were envious. None of them were proud. They were all working together according to Krishna's instruction. So they are all going out to find this gold just so that Yudhisthira, their brother, would be glorified to the whole world. Servant of the servant of the servant. This is the mood of the Pandavas. And as far as Yudhisthira was concerned, he was not doing it to be glorified. He was doing it out of utter humility. Although he would be glorified, in his mind he was doing it to atone for what he considered he was a criminal. He was a criminal because of him, so much pain. He was doing it as an atonement, as a service to the Lord. And people sometimes ask, why so much emphasis is given on the Pandavas? The Mahabharata, over 100,000 slokas. The entire theme underlying the Mahabharata is Krishna's favor upon the Pandavas. And even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, a very large portion of the Bhagavatam is discussing Krishna's relationship with the Pandavas. So many chapters. In fact, the Bhagavatam itself, in toto, was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, who was the grandson of the Pandavas. And this is the reason. Because the Pandavas, they were such pure, unalloyed devotees, willing to work together in such a cooperative spirit under Yudhisthira Maharaj, for the pleasure of Krishna. It is for this reason that the Pandavas were so intimately dear to Krishna, and Krishna wanted to glorify their activities for the benefit and purification of all the world. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, in the lecture, you said that the leader assumes the responsibility and the blame for anything that the subjects do. Similarly, the real pain with the spiritual master is because he has assumed the responsibility in the eyes of God, and therefore we should be very, very sincere disciples. Now, when disciples are engaged in many services, like for example, even in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Sankirtan Yajna. That is, he is saying that chanting is compared to Yajna. So that means all the disciples who will be engaged in, let's say, deity worship, chanting their rounds, cooking for the deities, or some other spiritual activity. That means they are all taking part in this yajna. So that means the disciples will have to be very, very conscious of the fact that whatever they do will be actually affecting the spiritual master. So how should one take care of this? Also, dealings with devotees.
Three things are most important. One is to perform our sadhana very carefully. Without performing our sadhana carefully, we will not have the grace of God within our consciousness to perform any of our activities properly. Two, we should not engage in any sinful activities. We should not break the regulative principles. And three, we should not fight or offend or criticize devotees. These are the things that create the greatest pain, not only directly to our spiritual masters, but to all the acharyas. When Srila Prabhupada would hear of his devotees engaging in sinful activities, or when he would hear of his devotees fighting amongst one another or criticizing one another, this caused him pain. This caused him the greatest pain. So if we have any sense of affection, or we have any aspiration to develop love for Krishna, then we should not cause pain to Krishna and his representatives. That means we should restrain from sinful activities. We should restrain from quarreling, fighting, competing, or criticizing devotees.
Maharaj, we find that Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing this great sacrifice of Ashwamedha Yajna. We understand that the Yuga Dharma for Dwapara Yuga was to have elaborate deity worship. The Yuga Dharma for Dwapara Yuga was deity worship. However, in the life of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he did three great, I believe, Ashwamedha Yajnas. So I was wondering why, if he wanted to glorify Krishna, he would have probably built a beautiful big temple for Krishna. I'll find that the grandson of Krishna, Vajranab, late after that Krishna had already disappeared and Kali Yuga had set in. It is he who established so many temples. That was in the beginning of Kali Yuga, to glorify the Lord. So wondering how this Yuga Dharma was not being practiced by Dharmaraj himself, or what way.
As king, who was specially empowered by Krishna, if you have the means to perform these yajnas, you can do. Yudhishthira Maharaj had the means. In Treta Yuga, they may not have had to go all the way to the Himalayas to find this mountain peak. The gold was quite abundant everywhere. But because Yudhishthira Maharaj had the means to perform the yajna, therefore it was appropriate for him to perform this yajna. But in the age of Kali Yuga, nobody has the means to perform such a yajna at this time. If you do have the means, then you can do. So it's recommended according to the means that we have to perform. Because Maharaj Yudhishthira was directly an associate of Krishna, who was the husband of Goddess of Fortune, Krishna gave him the means by which he could perform what nobody else could do in this age.
Maharaj, in almost all of your classes, I have seen that you give so much emphasis on daily sadhana and serving the devotees in a very humble way. Almost the end point of all the classes comes to this point itself. Now, this I used to face this problem very often, is that you give so much emphasis on daily sadhana. Whatever sadhanas we have kept in our mind that we will be doing daily in addition to our 16 rounds and this and this, this. But because on the festival days and on the yatra time, we don't get that much time, because other days we have scheduled our life in such a way that we manage it out. But in other days everything is completely mismanaged and everything is completely descheduled. At that time of time, how to see that, what should we give an emphasis? Should we give an emphasis on daily sadhana at that time also? Or should we give an emphasis on just serving the devotees and be with the devotees, and whatever the devotees say, just follow it out? What to do on that day? Because that fear is there in our mind. But supposing if you don't do those sadhanas on that day also, then the maya is so strong that we'll feel it, oh, I have not done on that day, so I can not do on this day also. So how to see to it?
As far as we know, there is an endeavor always to facilitate time for daily sadhana during yatras. But during yatras, of course, we must complete our daily sadhana. But in another sense, the whole day is nothing but sadhana. There's nothing that takes place in the yatra except sadhana. Hearing and chanting the glories of sadhana means hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So when you're not doing it just 2 hours and then going to work, or you're doing it practically the entire waking hour, or either in kirtan or hearing Krishna katha, Bhagavat philosophy. So it's an entire day of sadhana. There's nothing else at these yatras except sadhana. Yes?
When a disciple commits some sinful activities, is it that because he lacks affection towards his spiritual master and Krishna, or is it because of his previous conditioning he commits sinful activities?
It is because of his previous conditioning. But his willingness to restrain those tendencies is the expression of his affection. That is the test of the sincerity of our love, our willingness to restrain our mental and physical tendencies. That has to be taken very seriously. We all have so many conditionings toward envy, which is the root of why we criticize and offend Vaishnavas. Toward self-centered ego, which is the cause of our disunity in cooperatively working with other Vaishnavas. Toward sense gratification, gross sense gratification, which is the cause of our breaking the principles or deviating from the proper life of a devotee. So these are all conditioned tendencies that every conditioned soul has to one extent or another. And the test of our sincerity and the test of our actual, you see, love is not just something that's a sentiment. Oh, I love you. Tears falling from our eyes. That is not real love. Love is tested by sacrifice. And sacrifice means tapasya. Real love is tested by how much you're willing to give up for your beloved. And what we have to give up is our own previous conditioned tendencies. We want this. It is our inclination. But we're willing to say no because we want to express our love. We don't want to cause pain to our Guru, to Krishna. That is what we must strive for.
We have those desires. It's due to our previous condition.
But it is due to a lack of love that we are not willing to perform the sacrifice of restraining those conditionings and acting positively according to Guru's order. And anyone can say, well, I lack love, so what can I do? But that is nonsense. That means you are insincere rascal. This is the process of gaining love. This is the test of whether we want that love, being willing to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, being willing to make the order of Guru our life and soul. Prabhupada was not very much attracted by sentimental gestures. He wanted to see living evidence of our sincerity by our willingness to perform yajna or sacrifice within the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.